How many love the Lord in this place? How many love him? Amen. Well, today, I wanted to tackle here at Frontier Church a challenge that is very important to all of us. And that is, how do we discover that we're actually in the center of God's will? How can you know that you are walking in purpose and destiny? How can you know that you're walking, as we have said, in the way? The Christianity has never been described as Christianity in the Old Testament or in the New. When the church began to burgeon itself and begin to grow in the New Testament times, it wasn't called Christianity. Literally, they called it the way. It was the way of Jesus. And so many people could tell, like it said in the Bible, that Peter and John with him, they had been with Jesus because they could tell by their way about them. And today I want to challenge you that we want to discover the hindrances that's keeping us away from the way that Jesus has called us to walk. And so today we're going to jump into Luke chapter 6. But I want you to write this down as a takeaway for today. Here's our takeaway for today. Here it is. Get plugged into the way. Would you write that down, please? Get plugged into the way. Get plugged into the way. You know, we have been studying and going around the book of Luke and discovering so many truths about it that this is the one time among many, also found in the book of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus articulates the way of being a Christian. If you ever wanted to kind of measure or gauge yourself, the best way to do that is either look in Matthew 5 or look in Luke chapter 6. We've chosen Luke chapter 6 because it's a powerful illustration with many great, great analogies. And so today, Jesus will begin, as we've talked before, he talked about blessed are the poor and blessed are those who weep now, for they shall be happy. And we walked through that already, but he begins to talk about there's sorrow also involved with Christianity. When a person does not choose to walk in the way, there can be sorrow. So I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 24. But before we get there, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And there seems to be a little ring, please. My sound team, if you would catch that for me. Before I go any further, I want to make my son is in Florida A&M University, and I was supposed to give him a shout out last weekend, and he made sure I didn't forget it this week. So I want to give a shout out to Dustin Yates over at FAMU. How you doing, buddy? Amen. Bring me some A's home, baby. Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing that we need to understand about the Lord, and this is the difficulty that many of us, we run into. God has graced us with so many things. I mean, jobs and income and friends and opportunities and doors opening and places to go, people to meet, baseball games, soccer games, football games. There are so many wonderful things in this world that we can participate in that sometimes they're good things, but they may not be the right things. Somebody say amen. Amen. There are many, many good things in the world, but it just may not be the right thing for me. You know, I don't know about you, but some people love coconut milk. How many like coconut milk? See, for the rest of us, it ain't the right thing. You see, some people like pig feet. Who likes pickled pig feet? Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless them. Come out, you demon. Some people don't even know what pickled pig feet is. Woo! It's so crazy because all of us have different tastes, but sometimes some things aren't good for you. Eat too much pork, it can mess with your high blood pressure. It's not good for you. And likewise, we are to live lives of modesty so that we don't get caught up in so many good things that we walk away from the very best thing. And that happens a lot. Jesus had to deal with this in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to show you something in Luke chapter 6. But first, let me show you what he has given to you. Something that I think is very important that we all need to acknowledge. Number one, every blessing, every promotion, every financial increase that you have ever received, every good thing that has been done to you was not given to you to push you away from God, consumed with stuff, but to draw you to God and make your life even better, so that one day you would look like Jesus. So what does that look like for the wealthy person? God did not give you all of those finances so that you could surround yourself with stuff. So much stuff that it blocks away your relationship between you and God. He never intended for you to get a great promotion on your job and be so busy that you have no more time for him. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. God will never bring a relationship into your life that will draw you away from him. That's your big identifier. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Every good thing he gives you is to draw you closer to him. The problem in our society is they give different standards and they say, you know what, you need to surround yourself with wealth and money and riches, or you need to have this or that, a big screen TV, a nice house on a hill. You need to have 2.5 kids. I don't even know what 0.5 kid is. But God wants us to go back to what he views as is the right way, the way to him. Now, if God gives us all these things, I know he does it because we find in Romans 8, 28 and 29. Would you turn there? This is the truth. This is the truth. This is why good things are happening in your life, guys. This is why, you know, you're not at rock bottom. Listen, this is the truth. Can we all read it together? Let's read. And we know. And love God. To his purposes for them. We know. I mean, this is non-debatable, non-negotiable. We understand that the reason why you keep making it and surviving is because God is causing the world itself to bow down around your life because he has a plan and a purpose that you must accomplish. Somebody ought to shout right there. Come on now. Have you ever been out pulling out in an intersection and the car just missed you? Come on now. Sometimes you get on a plane and that plane drops real quick and you learn how to speak in tongues. You ever had that happen when you learn to pray right then? See, but God would not let the plane drop because you got too much work to do. You know, every time I get on a plane, And the thought crosses my mind, you know, something might happen, I remember what the Lord speaks over my life. And I say, you know what? I haven't done that yet. We're going to be fine. Come on now. That, because why? All things work together for the good. Put that back on the screen for our people. Put it back on that screen so everybody can hear it. Come on, Romans 8. Come on. There you go. There it is. You can do it. That's right. There you go. Okay. And everybody say, we know. Come on, say it again. We know. Say it again. We know. We know. Now, the world doesn't understand why things keep happening for us, but we know. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those and... Wow. It has to work out for you. Listen, some of you had to be saved. God had to bring you to the altar. Amen. Because he called you, and it has to work to your good. Yes. The foolishness the enemy had over your life has to stop.
Come on now, man of God.
Because you're called. Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, put your finger up just like this. And then stick it in your neighbor's face. You're called. You're called. Turn the other side. You're called. That's the reason why God keeps blessing your life, is for that reason. But here is where people make the mistake. Because so much is happening in your favor, and so much finances are coming into your life, and the jobs keep opening, and the friends keep asking you to hang out and go out, and there's another beach, and another beach, and another beach, and another beach. And there's another movie, and another movie, and another movie, and another dinner, and another dinner. Another dinner. That we're so caught up with this stuff that we lose sight of the way. And then our testimony begins to fade. Anybody ever had Kool-Aid? Come on, all the old school folk, let me say Kool-Aid people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the worst thing to ever have is watered down Kool-Aid. Let me tell you what happens with your Christianity when you let stuff block your life. You become watered down Kool-Aid. I can tell it's fruit punch, but not really. You got to have some punch to it. You know what I'm saying? See, let me tell you what Jesus had walked through the ways of how you can build your character in the first part of Luke chapter 6. And it really was about how to please the Lord. And then as we get into the next passage, he starts talking about how we can help other people. But he starts with a warning. I want you to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. He was detailing some real problems of many souls that lose their way. He talks about what brings great sorrow into a believer's life if they don't understand this principle. Listen, here's what he says. But woe unto you who are rich. What version are you reading from? That's King James, that's NLT. We'll read that one. What sorrow awaits you who are rich? For you have your only happiness now. That is so sad. I mean, that's the guy who has the boat, the four-wheeler, maybe more, house, friends. But he's lost his relationship with God. There's nothing wrong with wealth. But the Bible says very clearly that the love of money is the root of all evil. And when a person consumes their life with those things and finds satisfaction in temporary items, man, when they go away, man, the sorrow is deep. He says, what sorrow awaits you who are rich? For you have your only happiness now. You have your car, you have your BMW. You have your vacation, you have your IRA, your 401k, but you don't have Jesus like you used to. Here's something I learned a long time ago, that the church is the priest. And the priest cannot operate without kings. Kings and priests work together. We can't build the kingdom without kings, and kings can't build their kingdoms without priests. There are some of you today that God has blessed financially and in a great way, and others that God has taken you there. But I want to speak to those who have been taken out of the way, because I need you as a priest to help propagate the kingdom. But when the enemy has blinded you with stuff, all I see is sorrow in those lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to look at the next verse, verse 25. Look what it says. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now? And what that means isn't that you're not, again, not allowed to have wealth. It just means that your soul identity is that even though God brought all this in your life to draw you to him, you've now taken your eyes off of him and looked at the stuff. And you become fat and prosperous with it. It says, what sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now? For a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now? For your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What is he referring to? He's referring to that at the end of your life, there'll be a price to pay because you got your reward here. And I'm here to tell you, I do not want my reward from here. Is anybody else with me on that one? Listen, if you're going to be a man or woman of wealth, you have to set your eyes to the hills from which cometh your help. For your help comes from the Lord. You can never let your satisfaction, your joy, or your comfort be found here. You can have all those things, but you must understand who it is that gives it to you and why he gives it to you. Because you are the called according to his purpose. And so there's a sorrow with so many people. And I remember working in Washington, D.C. And I was invited to work at the White House one summer. And while I was there, I had no money. I had zero. I was staying with my aunt. And the aunt that nobody talks about, you know, that one relative that nobody's friends with, you know what I mean? But she lived in the city. And they said, well, why don't you go stay with her? And no one told me she was schizophrenic. No one said it. So I get there, and then, you know, she begins to accuse me of stealing people's underwear and, you know, stealing Secret Service papers, and it was, like, bad. I mean, I'm going to work every day, and I'm like, oh, this is horrible. And then one day, I'll never forget, I came home, and my grandmother that lived with my aunt said, baby, come here, let me say something to you. And I walked in the kitchen, and she said, baby, your auntie's about to kick you out tomorrow. And you ain't going to have no place to stay. She's going to put everything out in the front yard, and she's going to laugh at you. I'm just warning you now. Well, what do? Because if I set my heart on stuff, I'm in trouble. And I'll never forget, I said, okay, I walked upstairs, went into my little room, knelt down on the floor, and I said, God, I know that you called me. And all things have to work according to the good of those who love you and are the called. And I'm about to lose all my stuff. Man, what a prayer. What happens and what do you do when you lose all your stuff? Do you fight God, curse God? Or do you get on your knees and say, you're the one I need to get some help from? Well, I knelt on my knees and I said, God, I need some help. In fact, I need it by tomorrow. I went to work that day, and I walked into the office, and in the White House, there's a bunch of volunteers from all around America, and there's a sweet old lady, I mean, sweetest old lady in the world, and her husband, they were sweet people, and I worked side by side with them, and I walked in, and my heart was heavy, and the lady walked up to me and said, baby, my husband and I have been watching you while you've been here at the White House, and you know, we feel kind of bad because we know you're a student and you're trying to survive, but you know, and paying rent is a whole lot, but you know, we don't have much, but if you need a place to stay, we have a nice little place to stay if you'd like. Next day. Now, let me just deal with Steve Yates. I'm looking at these two elderly people. I'm 240 pounds. I said, if I go live with them, they probably live in a little wood hut on the side of a hill. They probably got two crumbs of bread, and I'm going to eat it all. I can't do that. I'm thinking, man, they can't take care of me. And the Lord just reminded me, what did you ask me for? If he's the God of wealth, why not ask him? And so he said, what did you ask me for? He didn't say how I was going to come. He just said, I'll provide. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. So they wrote their address down. And I went home that day, and sure enough, all my stuff was in the front yard. What do you do when the enemy throws all your stuff in the front yard? When all your dreams and all your hopes are found out in the rain? You have to go back to know that those things only bring sorrow. But holding on to God's unchanging hand always brings joy. Come on. So, I looked at the stuff in the yard. I called a friend to come get me, and I just started putting stuff in the car as much as I could, and my aunt came out. What are you going to do? You can't live nowhere else. You can't be nowhere else. You're stuck. You're stuck. Thought you were a Christian. Where's your God now? Great family. I got in the car, and I pulled that little piece of paper, and we drove for the address. I remember going down into the city, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we're going into the rough side of town. And I remember passing through the rough side of town. And then we drove a little bit further, and we got to the suburbs. I'm like, oh, this is nice, sweet. And we drove past the suburbs. I'm like, do they live in the woods? I'm starting to get a little nervous. And we drive a little bit further. All of a sudden, to my left and to my right, were these amazing mansions, as big and as tall as the eye could see on every side. And I keep looking at this. I'm like, I better get out of this neighborhood because I may not make it out. And I'm looking, and these houses are amazing. And we pull up to this number that matched my piece of paper. And off the road, about a mile, was this beautiful white house in the back. So we pulled in, and I'm like, get ready to back out if this ain't the house, trust me. We pull up to the door, and this sweet old lady comes out with her husband. Welcome to my humble house, Steve. She said, Steve, I know that you've been catching the bus to work every day. What we're going to do, it's just the two of us, so that half of the house is yours. Oh, and by the way, we have a Mustang convertible in the garage we never use. You can use it. You know what that taught me? That taught me that I should never base my joy on things of this earth. God can give it to me from anywhere. My focus must be on the way of Jesus. Let me share this with you as we get ready to close, because we're out of time already and we're just getting into this topic. But I need you to understand this truth. I want you to understand that it's important. How do you get really in the way with God? And I'm going to give you one example of how to do that. You have to get plugged in. Look at your neighbor and say, get plugged in. You know, sometimes you'll never know. Jesus says, my desire is that you bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. Many of you are trees of life, but you're holding on to your fruit. And you don't even know what kind of tree you are because you won't let nobody eat off the tree. But you know how a tree grows? When fruit comes off, then it's able to bear more. Look at your neighbor and say, what kind of tree are you? Somebody said, a crazy tree. No. No such thing. Listen to me, you got to get plugged into the way. And the way to walk with Jesus isn't, Jesus never said, hey, watch me. He never said that. They said, Jesus, what are you all about? Follow me. They had to get plugged into walking with Jesus in order to understand His way. And I'm going to reach out to you. Many of you may realize we have children pictures everywhere. If you have a heart for kids, I want you to sign up today. Get plugged in. If you're a male in this building, we have a men's ministry that you can get plugged in. Women, we have a women's ministry. And you know what? We've got a marriage ministry to help your relationship grow. Get plugged in. Look at your neighbor and say, get plugged in. Now, let me show you something. You know what happens to me a lot? People get mad. I'll just be honest with you. People get mad at me all the time. All the time. Last week, so many people were mad at me. And the week before, and the week before, and the week before. But it's for one reason. When a person, see, this is a lamp, right? The nature of a lamp is you turn it on, right? And every time I come by this lamp, it provides light. Yes? All right, this is like what you ought to be. When you're plugged in and serving, you're providing light for somebody, even when you don't realize it. They may be watching you. They may be walking in darkness, but because you're serving, they say, I can do the same thing. And they say, wow, that's a beautiful light. And they say, man, I just is like hanging out by the light. I can see better. And that's what light does. You see it, you keep going. And then you see it, you keep going. But watch what happens when a light that's been on all the time gets unplugged. You see it and you go, whoa, what's wrong with the light? Is the light bulb working? And you begin to check it. Listen, let me say this to you. If you're just coming to church and you're not plugged in, that means that no one, when you are plugged in and serving, and you're really serving, and your light has been shining, if something happens in your life that the light goes out, then the people that you've been light to will automatically recognize, man, something's wrong, and they're going to come find you. Yes. Because what? You're plugged in. But here's where people get mad at me all the time. There are people who are never plugged in. They don't serve, they don't volunteer, and they don't help. They just come to church maybe one day, take off a couple weeks, come back, a couple weeks gone. And then when some tragedy happens, I'm walking by the lamp that's never plugged in. I'm walking by the same lamp that wasn't here last week, didn't serve last week, wasn't plugged in the week before. And then some tragedy happens to the lamp. And you know what they say? Pastor Steve didn't even recognize that I've been out of church for 2 weeks. Why? Because I'm used to the light being gone. Listen to me. There are over 300 and over 400 members in this church. There's no way for me to know if you're gone for a couple weeks.
Come on, man of God.
I need you to talk to me. If you're going to be gone or you're sick, say something. I'm not that good. They sprained their toe. Somebody go get them. No, I can't do that.
Amen.
So don't get mad when you're gone and your light's not plugged in and no one knows that you were even here. Listen, plug in somewhere. I mean, parking team, calling team, financial team, accounting team. I mean, a singing team. I mean, praying team. We pray 8 o'clock every morning. Man, if you pray 8 o'clock every morning here and I hear a voice missing, you better believe I'm coming looking for you. Help somebody, do something for somebody. Help a child, help cook a meal, do something. Cut the grass, do ProPresenter. I mean, do something for God. Stay plugged in. Stay plugged in the way. That's what he wants for all of us, to be plugged in to his way. And as we serve others, if something were to happen, you will have people that will notice that something's wrong. People need two things. They need to be noticed and needed. When you're plugged in, you get noticed, and people need you. I'm going to challenge you. Don't stay on the outside. Don't stay on the outside. Get plugged in. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't grown in the Lord or you're looking to grow in the Lord, may I encourage you, every Thursday night, we want to fill this chapel, we want to fill this place with people learning the Bible. And if you wanted to learn something that you've never heard before, come out on Thursdays at 7, where we even have an open mic, and you can ask any Bible question you want, okay? It's time to grow as a church, but it starts by getting plugged in. Let's give God a great hand clap of praise. Would you stand to your feet?